Taxi! Taxi!
The time, right now. The characters, you name them, we got them. The scene, New York City. We present Taxi, a week-by-week account of the trials and tribulations of a New York taxi driver.
Hi there. Jack's the name. Jack Edwards. Now, to say that my doll Myrtle was an oil painter would be prefabricating a little. Nah, she ain't. Yeah, but I always says, get yourself a good-looking broad, and you have got yourself trouble. Not that I would know how to get a good-looking broad. I mean me, myself. Oh, boy, I ain't no Adonis. Not that Myrtle is homely. Let's say she is comfortable. You know what I mean? She ain't the type that goes gaga over the latest fashions. Which is why I was more than surmised when I called around at her apartment one evening to take her out on one of her rare but unavoidable dates. And I finds her dressed in a... Hey, wait for it. A miniskirt. Yeah, that's right. A miniskirt.
So what's so funny?
No, nothing. I just got a cough is all.
All right, let's go.
Go? You ain't going out in that thing, are you?
And why not?
Well, I mean, Michael, after all.
Is there something wrong with me?
No, honey bunch. No, nothing wrong with you, but... Hey, ain't that skirt a little on the short side?
It is supposed to be on the short side. It's a mini skirt.
I know what it is, all right.
So
I don't think it suits your particular style of legs.
Now, listen. The sales dame says to me that the mini skirt is particularly fitting for dames who have slender legs.
Oh, slender, sure. But skinny?
Are you interpolating I have skinny legs?
Well, leave us face it, doll. They ain't fat.
Now, see here, Chuck Edwards. It is a broad's duty to keep up with the fashions, and mini skirts are the fashion.
Oh, now, come on, honey. Let's be reasonable about this business.
Hang on. Hello?
Hello, Michael. Is Chuck there?
Hold on a minute. It's for you.
Who is it?
The pal of your bazoom. Who else?
Ah, so what does he want? I just left him at the apartment. Yeah, hello, Red.
Say, listen, are you and Michael, have you left for the movies yet?
Now, how could I be talking to you if we'd left for the movies?
Depends what's showing.
Huh?
Anyway, listen, I just remembered, I got tickets for the fights tonight at the Garden.
Hey, you have?
Yeah, I forgot. I ran into Lux Malone today. He gave me a couple of tickets.
Gee, couldn't they find another driver?
Driver? What's with the driver bit?
Are you sure the boss said I gotta come right away?
I ain't seen the boss. I'm talking about the fights. Are you coming?
Yeah, sure. I'll be over right away. Though I figure he's got a nerve. Hey, what about Jenkins? He ain't worked the late shift since Pop fell off the bus.
Chuck, I don't understand. I don't understand.
So he's sick, huh?
Chuck, who's sick? I'm fine. Lux is fine. And who dragged Jenkins into the conversation? Are you sick?
Yeah, okay, Red. I'll get down there right away. So long, Red.
Look, Chuck, don't leave me like this. Just answer me one question. Do you want to go to the fights, yes or no?
Yeah.
So are you coming back to the apartment, yes or no?
Yeah.
So what's all the malarkey about the boss and Jenkins?
Yeah.
Chuck, just take care of yourself on the way over here. Because either we got a cross line, or else what you're saying don't end up the same this end. Or else you're nuts.
Yeah. Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye. Whoever you are.
Gee, ain't that just my luck?
What?
Well, you heard, didn't you? The boss just phoned the apartment. Two of the night drivers didn't turn up. And Red and me's got to go on shift. Now, can you beat that?
Now, listen. If this is some gag to get out of taking me out in my miniskirt.
Oh, please now, baby. Did I phone?
No. But I wouldn't put it past that plug ugly pal of yours to make up some story.
Oh, honey bunch, you're talking nonsense. Now, why for would he not want me to take you out? He ain't seen that miniskirt.
Now, see here, Chuck Edwards.
No, honey, I didn't mean that. Anyway, I'm sorry, sweetie pie, but there you are. Duty calls. I guess we'll have to postpone the date.
Oh, Chuck. Oh,
gee, I'm sorry, honey, but what can I do? Well, believe me, I was looking forward to our date tonight.
You were?
Yeah, sure I was. Especially with you and that miniskirt. Hey, you know something?
What?
I never knew you had such tall knees. I got out of the apartment door a split second before the vase hit it. Maybe my dame is a bit lacking in the legs, but there ain't nothing wrong with her pitcher's arm. Anyway, I burns round to our joint, and there he's Red waiting for me. Like Dr. Kildare, he is waiting for me.
Sit down, Chuck. Take it easy. Do you feel hot?
Knock it off, you big ape. I had to put on that act to get out of taking Myrtle out.
How's that again?
Look, Red, I couldn't say nothing about going to the fights because Myrtle was listening, right?
Right.
So I had to tell her some malarkey to get out of my date with her, right?
Right.
So I made up as if you was phoning me and telling me that we had to work tonight, right?
Wrong. We don't have to work late tonight.
Look, Red, just forget about it, will you? Come on, let's get over to the garden and watch the fights. Madison Square Garden, in case you ain't never been there, is something to see when there is a night of fighting. There is an excitement about the place. There ain't nothing like the garden. On the way over there in the cab, Red tells me how he meets this guy, Lugs Malone. Hey, did I tell you, guys and dolls, Red used to be a fighter. Yeah, that's right. He was a heavyweight, a real pug. Yeah, maybe that's why he ain't so bright sometimes. Anyway, he starts in about this Malone guy.
So Lugs says to me, "Hi, Red." And I says to him, "Hi, Lugs." And I says to him, "How are you?" And he says to me, "I'm fine." And I says to him...
Hold it. I can't stand the pace.
Huh?
This brilliant diatribe is making my head spin. Hey, who is this guy Malone anyway?
Lugs Malone.
Yeah.
My old buddy. He was also a heavy. Yeah, he was in the fight game the same time I was. He quit about the same time I did, too.
Yeah? Hey, Red, I never did ask you. Why did you quit the fight game?
Well, see, I was doing okay. Then one night, I was matched against this guy, Killer McTike. Well, I catches him with the old 1-3, 1-3. I was hitting him.
Ah, you mean the old 1-2?
No, I was hitting him with the 1-3. He was hammering me with the 2. Anyway, I catches him on the nose, a butte, and he starts to bleed. He won the fight.
He did? How come?
You know me. I can't stand the sight of blood. I fainted. The ref counted me out. After that, I quit.
Yeah, that's understandable. So if this guy Lux Malone quits the fight game, how come he was able to slip you a couple of tickets for tonight?
Tonight ain't fights. It's not boxing.
Huh?
No, tonight's is wrestling, yeah. That's what Lux is doing these days. He's an all-out wrestler.
All-in wrestler.
Out-in. What's the difference so long as you got your health?
I will say this for Lux Malone. The seats he gave to Red was ringside seats. I never sat that close before. Oh, boy, those seats cost a lot of dough. And also, I ain't never seen wrestling before. I want to tell you, cats and kittens, this is quite a show they puts on. There was a couple of bouts before Red's Palace do one. And, brother, some of them plug uglies I would not like to meet down a dark alley. And the names. The Sicilian Spoiler. Handsome Harry. Battling Ben Blue. And each one of them has got a gimmick. Yeah, like this Ben Blue Joe. He's been tattooed all over, with blue tattooing, of course. And this Handsome Harry, oh boy, the ugliest guy you ever seen. But instead of a second, he has like a valet. You know, dressed in tailcoat, the works. That's all a big act, or so I'm told. Oh, but brother, the way they screw each other up and tie each other in knots. Well, and believe you me, Miss Weston, the way the Siberian Strangler threw the Mongolian Mauler out of the ring. Oh, I want to tell you, that guy landed with a thud that made my teeth ache. Anyway, comes the time for Red's pal's entrance.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, a contest between the undisputed champion of Madagascar and the contender for the South Atlantic title. The best of three falls. No holds barred.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from the Madison Square Garden, where we have entering the ring now at 280 pounds, the Madagascan Mangler. and on the other side, just climbing through the ropes, carrying 300 pounds of rippling muscle, Attila, the scourge of the South.
Which one is your buddy?
The Damascan Daniel. No, that ain't right. He's it's the first one.
Say, how do you get a moniker like that?
Search me. But Lugs tells me you gotta have a gimmick. Maybe that's his gimmick. He's got a name nobody can pronounce.
And they approach the center of the ring. Now they're circling round each other. Oh, and Attila goes in with a mule kick to the mangler's head. But he fails to connect and lands on the canvas. Now the mauler jumps on his stomach, but the scourge rolls out of the way and grabs the mauler. And now Attila has got the mauler in a double polo squeeze. The mauler is in agony here.
Hi, Lugs. This is my buddy Chuck.
Pleased to meet you.
I don't think the baller can stand this pain much longer.
See you in the dressing room after, eh, kiddo?
Yeah, sure.
Yes, I was right. The Muller has signaled for mercy, and that counts as a fall to Attila the Scourge.
Well, that's how it went. In the finish, Red's buddy loses the fight 2-3. But that ain't the finish. No, sir. He throws the bucket at the other guy. And the other guy picks up his second and throws him at Red's buddy. Bob was a load of you-know-what for sure. But me, there I was, screaming along with the rest of them. Oh, boy, I always was a sucker for a good show. I believe you me, this was good. Anyway, we goes round to the guy's dressing room afterwards.
Yeah? Who is it?
It's me, Red.
Oh. Come in, kiddo.
Gee, you was great, Lux.
Yeah.
For a minute there, I was sure you was gonna win.
Oh, no. Tonight wasn't my turn. Next time we meet, I win. That's the way we work, you see.
You mean the whole thing's a put-up job?
Sure. You gotta know how to fall, is all. How to look like you was killing the other guy or being killed. Depending on whose turn it is.
Gee, you mean the whole thing is arranged?
Sure. See, grab a seat, and your buddy.
Yeah, thanks.
You mean when you were screaming at...
Don't part of the act, kiddo. You just gotta make it look real, that's all. And remember what comes next.
Hey, you mean like it's all rehearsed?
That's it, rehearsed. And you gotta stick to the script. These guys don't like it if you ad-lib with a suck and a kisser when it's supposed to be a half Nelson. Oh, no. Takes a good memory to be a wrestler. Say, what you doing these days, kiddo?
I told you, I'm a cabbie.
You mean you drives a cab?
Yeah.
Well, that don't pay much bread, do it?
I get by.
Hey, you should get into this record. I make 1,000 fish a fight. Fight every week.
A grand?
$1,000 a week.
What do you weigh these days, huh?
6'7".
Mm-hmm. How tall are you?
280 pounds.
Oh, you do great. If you'd like, I'll speak to the manager there. They're always looking for new blood.
Blood?
Nah, just a manner of speaking, Red. Take it easy, boy.
Would you be interested, kiddo?
For $1,000 a fight?
He's interested.
I'm interested.
Oh, great. My manager should be here any minute. I'll give you an intro.
Maybe I was a little hasty in forcing Red's hand like that. Oh, but gee, $1,000 a fight. I mean, for that kind of dough. This Lux character was a nice enough Joe. That was easy enough to see how he got his name. He didn't have cauliflower ears. Nah, they looked like somebody had slapped 2 handfuls of red clay on either side of his head. Anyway, about 5 minutes later, in comes the manager. Now, there was a sharpie if ever I saw one. He was wearing one of them wide-brimmed fedoras snapped down over the eyes and a double-breasted white Panama suit. He was chewing a cigar and smiling with his mouth. Ah, but not with his eyes.
Nice work, Lugs. Nice work.
Yeah.
Who's this?
Oh, this is two buddies of mine. Red Kowalski and Chuck Edwards.
Pleased to meet you, I'm sure.
Yeah, hi there.
Yeah, well, here, Lugs. Here's the moolah. Let's buy 20% of costs. 800.
Yeah. thanks. I say, Tracy, remembers you were saying you needed more big guys for your stable?
Yeah.
Well, how's about my buddy, Red?
Well, he looks big enough. Ever fought?
Well, not this kind, but I was a heavyweight boxer. Fought under the name of Killer Kowalski.
Well, come down to the gym tomorrow morning and let's see how you shape up.
I ain't never done this wrestling bit before.
That's okay. Come down to the gym 10:30 tomorrow morning. We'll see how you shape.
Next morning comes 10:15. Me and Red ducks down to the gym, which is over Yonkers way. Oh, yeah, but not before Moitlin has made a few inquiries at the office and come through on the blower.
Calling Cap Tight Team, calling Cap Tight Team.
Well, well, good morning, Sugar Plowman. How's things this morning?
How did the white go last night?
I was going to tell you about that. I suppose you checked the worksheets.
Yeah, I am in the mood for fairy stories. And the best ones start once upon a time.
No, honey, I'll tell you what happened.
Oh, get to the part where the fairy prince changed you into a frog.
Now, listen, Michael. You see, the transport manager couldn't raise Harry and Charlie May. So they needed two other drivers. But by the time me and Red got down there, well, they'd showed. So they didn't need me and Red.
Well, me and the transport manager's got one thing in common. I don't need you, too. In spades, I don't need you. Like a hole in my head, I don't need you. When the time comes when you prefer to go and watch an all-in wrestling to taking me out, well, that's the time when a dame gives back the ring. If you had ever given me a ring, you two-bit chiseler.
Now, Michael, I ain't given you an engagement ring yet on account of I ain't never found one really worthy of you.
Ha-ha! My mother warned me about you. She was wrong. You his wife. Goodbye and forever.
Hey, Michael, how'd you know he went to the wrestling, huh? Hey, Michael. Ah, geez, he switched off. I wonder how she knew.
Knew what?
Knew you and me went to the garden last night. Ah, dames.
This must be the place.
Oh, yeah.
Gentleman Jim's gym for gentlemen.
Well, I will say one thing for my buddy Red. He may have a shortage of the old gray matter, but when it comes to fighting, oh boy, he knows his onions. Sort of instinct tuition, I guess. Boy, he takes to this wrestling lark like a duck takes to water.
Okay, knock it out. Come down here, will you?
He did okay, huh?
Yeah, not bad at all.
How did I do? Did I do right?
Yeah, not bad. We got to teach you a few of the holds, but that won't take long. A few days on the ring with some of the boys.
I ain't scared. I'll fight men.
Yeah, we got to think up a name and a gimmick. I'll tell you what. We ain't got anybody fighting in a mask at the moment. How about that, huh?
A mask? I don't get it.
You'll wear a mask. And maybe a hood right over the head with slits for the eyes and mouth. Yeah, a red one. Yeah, and we'll call you Zorro. How's that?
Gee, my old mother was right. I wonder how she knew.
Know what?
She used to say to me, son, this fight game will bring you nothing but sorrow.
Red is for throwing up his job with the cab company on the train, but I talks him out of that. So every spare moment when he ain't on the rank, he is down at the gym picking up the know-how of this all-in wrestling caper. Then comes the night when he is ready to make his debut. I must say, he really looks the part. He has a red hood and a red cape. His shorts is red, and so is his boots and socks. On account of Tracy reckons that if Red ain't Hoyda Zorro, maybe the customers ain't, they have decided on the name of the Masked Flame. I have given Michael a couple of days to cool off, so he is now on speaking terms again. So I asked him to go along with me to see Red fight.
Red? A wrestler?
Yeah, Michael, that's why we couldn't be with you the other night. I mean, I couldn't be with you. We was fixing the whole thing up.
Well, this I gotta see.
I'll pick you up around about 7:30, okay?
Okay. And if you let me down again, Chuck Edwards, I...
Michael, now how would I do a thing like that, huh? Goodbye, honey.
She coming?
Yeah.
Chuck, I'm scared.
Oh, no. Leave us not start that caper again. What is there to be scared of?
All them people watching me.
Listen, Red, you'll be wearing a hood, remember? Nobody's gonna know it's you.
Say, that's right. I forgot about that. I just hope I remember the script.
The script?
Sure.
You gotta know, when he throws a hammerlock on you, you gotta get him in a scissors. And then he picks you up and throws you out of the ring. And so on and so forth.
Yeah, well, you was doing all right the last time I saw you.
Oh, sure. Well, I better be getting over there. You and Michael coming round to the dressing room after?
Yeah, sure, right, boy. Hey, good luck.
I won't need that. It's my time to win tonight.
I gets round to Moitel's apartment and I rings the bell. She opens the door.
One word out of you, Chuck Edwards.
No, Moitel. I ain't saying nothing. Gee, what do they call it?
It's a culotte.
Hey, that looks like a skirt divided into trousers to me.
That's what it is, and it's the latest.
Is that later than the miniskirt?
Yeah. Do you like it, Chuck?
Well, it's stylish.
Oh, Chuck.
It is also a bit on the short side, ain't it?
Well, it's a mini culotte. Look, Chuck, a dame's got to keep up with the fashions.
Oh, boy. Yeah, sure. So, come on, let's get over there, huh?
Well, good evening, Fromney Garden listeners, where you've joined us just in time for the first bout of the evening, which features for the first time in America, two giants of the ring. And in the blue corner, coming through the ropes now, we have the Tanzanian Terror, weighing 320 pounds. And stepping into the ring to my left... tripping over the ropes to my left.
Hey, I can't see nothing.
Hey, will you look at that big ape? He's got the hood thing on back to front.
That's red?
That's red. And weighing 280 pounds, the Red Flame. Well, at least they're turning the mask round so we can see.
With red, would it make any difference?
He's going to surprise you, honey. You just wait.
Now, the Red Hood masks a well-known sporting celebrity who is determined not to be unmasked. But you can be sure that the Tanzanian Terror is just as determined to unmask him. And here they come. Oh, the Red Flame has grabbed the referee and put her hammerlock hold on him.
Leave me alone, you big ape. I'm the referee.
Sorry, Mr. It's this hood. I can't see too good.
Well, finally, Red gets his bearings. And I gotta say that he puts on a good show. Whitel is getting so excited. Although I keep telling her to relax. Nah, she is taking it for real.
Slug him, Red! Kick him in the teeth! Throw him out of the ring!
It ain't my time, Michael! Oh, hey, that ain't in the script. What do you think you're doing?
Stop talking to the broads. Get on with the fight.
Now, look, mister. Oh, hey, listen, you ain't...
Get him, Red! Murder the bum!
You know something, Michael? That's a good idea.
Guys and dolls, from that moment on, things really started to liven up. Like this Tanzanian Terror guy starts things, but Red ain't back with them coming forward. They get stuck into each other. Oh, boy, but good.
What's the matter with you two now? Stick to the script!
And the Red Flame has landed a mule kick, which sends the Terror flying. Now the Terror is coming for the Flame, and he lands an elbow punch in his face.
Oh,
that blow landed on the Flame's nose. Yes, and he's streaming blood. The blood is streaming from under the mask down onto his chest. But the Flame is not giving up.
Blood. Oh,
and the Flame is out. Looks like a fall to the Terror.
Yeah, Red was out all right, but he hadn't been knocked out. The big lug had fainted at the sight of his own blood. They brought him round, but as soon as he saw the blood again, oh boy, down he went, and that was the end of the bout. Michael and me went round to the dressing room.
Oh, gee. So can I help it if I can't stand the sight of blood?
Well, can you beat it? A bruiser who can't bear the sight of blood... Okay, you better turn in your red cape and the mask. At least I didn't see your face. I'll find somebody else to use the same gimmick.
Gee, Chuck, did you see that guy? He was ad-libbing in there.
Yeah, never mind, old buddy boy. You caught him a couple of buttes. Come on, we'll go and have a couple of beers when you're changed, huh?
Come over to my place. I can't wait to get changed, too.
You changed, honey? What's wrong?
Didn't you notice that dame 2 seats down from us? I saw her when we got up to leave. She was wearing one of these mini culotte things. And she looked ridiculous. Let's get home.
So, some good did come out of the whole thing. Myrtle changed back to her old style of dressing. Red got paid $200 for the fiasco. And that he sucked away in the savings bank after we'd had a nice little celebration. Hey, you know what? He is still saving for when me and Myrtle goes off on our honeymoon. Ah, well, so long, guys and dolls. If I don't see you through the week, I'll see you through the window.
Taxi was written and produced by Joe Stewartson, directed for Sonovision Studios by David Gooden.